You're listening to SBS News.
With a new federal government coming into office this year, there's been a renewed focus on the environment.
Australians have chosen, and they have chosen, change. A government that will act on climate change.
Transportation accounts for 17% of Australia's greenhouse gas emissions, so attention is increasingly focused on what governments are doing about how people get from one place to another and how those emissions might be reduced. Michael Fotheringham from the Australian Housing and Urban Research Institute says for a long time everything has been built around the car.
I think the way Australian cities are designed, much like North American cities, fairly car-dominated sort of use of land, and you know, the history of our cities has been one where the use of land for road purposes is fairly dominant.
The car's dominance means that has been the starting point for a lot of government transport policy. Some states are further ahead than others, with Queensland's Roads Minister Mark Bailey announcing in 2016 the start of what they call a superhighway for the recharging of electric vehicles.
This is the future. You know, electric vehicles are taking off all around the world. We've got to get them going in Queensland, and getting infrastructure there to support them is an important part of that.
Despite that initial enthusiasm, progress on the project has been somewhat slow. 6 years later, there are now just 31 charging stations in place across Queensland, from Coolangatta on the Gold Coast to Port Douglas in the far north. Across the country, there's just over 3,000 charging points, with the most in New South Wales and the fewest in the Northern Territory. And sales of electric cars account for 0.78% of new vehicles, much lower than the world average. Climate Council spokeswoman Dr. Jennifer Rayner says there are some significant practical issues getting in the way of EVs in Australia.
The cheapest EV available in Australia at the moment costs about $45,000. That compares to the cheapest EV available in Europe at about $18,000. One of the reasons for that is because in those markets they have much more choice, much more range, because manufacturers are prioritising sending those vehicles to markets that have fuel efficiency standards, which give them an incentive to do that.
Governments in other countries have also been subsidising EV purchases to encourage a transition to renewables in their national fleets. The federal government says it is now taking action to make these cars cheaper. In August, at Australia's first electric vehicle summit, Climate Change Minister Chris Bowen said they're keen to introduce efficiency standards. He says a discussion paper is being launched in September to help develop Australia's first electric vehicle strategy.
I mean, if they're introduced, it's only going to help in emissions reduction. So that's a good thing. And of course, if we do and they're implemented and they work, they'll be reflected in the updates I'll give to Parliament every year.
Meanwhile, a new poll is now suggesting there's an appetite in the community for fewer cars and more public transport. Dr. Rayner says the Climate Council survey called the People and Transport Poll 2022 asked over 2,000 people for their opinions on trains and buses.
Australians want transport options that are better for our hip pockets and for our climate. 8 in 10 people believe that governments should invest more in public transport, and more than 2/3 want governments to deliver more footpaths and bike lanes across the country.
7 in 10 people are keen to see Australia's entire bus fleet electrified and even run on renewables as soon as possible, even though most of Australia's electricity supply still comes from coal-fired power stations. Some state governments, again, are already way ahead on this score. In New South Wales, the Transport Department has been working on a strategy to electrify the state's bus fleet and achieve zero emissions by 2030. Transport Minister David Elliott has even appeared in a Busways video to promote the new technology.
Using locally sourced clean energy just makes good business sense. We really are looking forward to walking away from having to suffer the variations of fuel prices, diesel prices, and of course with this technology, not only are we getting certainty with supply, but we're also getting a much cheaper option.
Western Australia is also moving to electric for much the same reasons. The first battery electric buses have been rolled out this year on a northern Perth route. And in Victoria, there are plans underway to add 36 zero-emission buses to the transport network. The Housing and Urban Research Institute's Michael Fotheringham says the irony is, as public transport becomes greener, COVID-19 has affected demand.
So 20 years ahead of COVID, you know, throughout the 2000s, we've been seeing year-on-year growth in use of public transport as people shy away from driving individual cars to mass transit formats that are more energy efficient and often cheaper, don't involve parking at the end of them. But with COVID and the risk of spread of illness, we've seen a bit of a reversal of that, and in fact some fairly strong preferences for people to avoid public transport in favour of individual cars or active transport, so walking and bike riding and so on.
Dr. Rayner wants to see increased support for walking and cycling options, not just as a cleaner transport choice, but a better way to live. And she says although COVID has kept some people away, electrified public transport might just encourage them to get back on board.
Have another try of public transport again where they might not have been using it regularly for a while, because it's a new experience and it's a better experience for people, which is what we're seeing through this poll, that they understand cleaner, quieter electric public transport will offer them a better experience.
Deborah Grawk, SBS News.